On November 10, 1993, an hour-long documentary titled The Mystery of the Sphinx was broadcast in primetime on NBC to some 30 million viewers across the United States. The documentary, which would go on to win an Emmy Award for its work, detailed a series of geological and seismic surveys conducted around the Giza Plateau between 1991 and 1993 by a team of Egyptologists led by John Anthony West. What West and his team had discovered during these surveys stunned the viewing audience. According to geological evidence, the Sphinx was not 4,500 years old, as was commonly accepted, but much older. In fact, over 10,000 years old, dating back well before the rise of Egyptian civilization as we know it. Further, seismic surveys showed a vast expanse of unexplored tunnels and chambers underneath the Sphinx, stretching deep underground. Documentary viewers and historians across the world wondered what this could mean, what secrets could be hidden in these unexplored depths. That same year, another team, led by German robotics engineer Rudolf Gantenbrink, sent a small robot equipped with a camera down an unexplored 8x8-inch shaft within the Great Pyramid. The robot crawled slowly for 200 feet until it reached a startling impasse, what appeared to be a door made of limestone or marble. More incredibly, the door seemed to have two copper handles on it. Metal, such as copper, is not found anywhere else in the Great Pyramid, leaving Gantenbrink and his team to wonder if they were in fact handles, or perhaps keys, or something else entirely. More importantly, they wondered what could be behind this door. Curiously, Egyptian authorities called the door a hoax and banned Gantenbrink and his team from exploring further, despite their offers to give authorities the robot and even train Egyptian technicians to operate the equipment and open the door. The director of the German Archaeological Institute in Cairo, Dr. Rainer Stadelmann, strangely sided with the Egyptian authorities, insisting, "This is not a door. There is nothing behind it." That same year, Egypt's chief inspector for antiquities, Dr. Zahi Hawass, physically expelled John Anthony West and his team from the area after the broadcast of The Mystery of the Sphinx. When West attempted to obtain a permit to resume exploration in 1995, it was Hawass again who made sure the application was denied. "Zahi Hawass has basically obstructed us," a dejected West would later tell the New York Times. Certainly, Hawass was not alone, but rather part of what some Egyptologists describe as a mafia involved with the pyramids, controlling research permits, suppressing new information, and, in the words of a petition signed by many thousands, hiding possible findings that could be of great importance to all members of the human race. The question is, why? Why would Egyptian authorities obstruct significant research into its legendary wonders? And just what could these possible findings be that could have such great importance to all members of the human race? Perhaps hidden below the pyramids of the Giza Plateau is a history that predates ancient Egypt, a story that shakes accepted mainstream knowledge to its core. Before we continue, we'd like to thank our friends from Skillshare for sponsoring this video. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of classes in design, business, technology, and more. Skillshare's mission is to close the professional skills gap and provide universal access to high-quality learning. I really like their calligraphy classes, which teach you the ancient art of calligraphy, together with their illustration classes, which can help you bring to life all of your visions and ideas. The first 500 people who click the link in the description will get 2 months of free access. Explore thousands of classes and fuel your creativity and career with Skillshare. The question of what might be hidden under the pyramids did not start with John Anthony West and Rudolf Gantenbrink. Records show that in 1817, the British Consul General to Egypt, Sir Henry Salt, alongside the rogue Italian explorer Giovanni Caviglia, discovered a large tomb just west of the Great Pyramid, which opened up to a maze of subterranean passages. Unfortunately, these men were not historians and abandoned exploration of the passages when they found them devoid of the treasure they were hunting. Yet, stories and records alluding to the existence of a subterranean underworld beneath the pyramids have existed for thousands of years, recorded and retold by travelers, historians, and the prominent thinkers of the time. Consider ancient Greek legends about a hidden above and below ground complex known as the Labyrinth at the Hawara Pyramid, some 60 miles from Giza. As described by 5th century BCE Greek historian Herodotus, "There I saw 12 palaces regularly disposed, which had communication with each other, interspersed with terraces and arranged around 12 halls. It is hard to believe they are the work of man. The walls are covered with carved figures, and each court is exquisitely built of white marble and surrounded by a colonnade. Near the corner where the labyrinth ends, there is a pyramid 240 feet in height, with great carved figures of animals on it, and an underground passage by which it can be entered. I was told very credibly that underground chambers and passages connected this pyramid with the pyramids at Memphis." The 1st century Roman historian Pliny wrote of a tomb deep below the Sphinx, which he described as a tomb of a ruler named Harmachis that contains great treasure. Iamblichus, a 4th century Syrian philosopher, described an entranceway to a subterranean underworld through the body of the Sphinx. In his own words, "This entrance, obstructed in our day by sands and rubbish, may still be traced between the four legs of the crouched colossus. It was formerly closed by a bronze gate whose secret spring could be operated only by the magi. It was guarded by public respect, and a sort of religious fear maintained its inviolability better than armed protection would have done. In the belly of the Sphinx were cut out galleries leading to the subterranean part of the Great Pyramid. These galleries were so artfully crisscrossed along their course to the pyramid that, in setting forth into the passage without a guide throughout this network, one ceasingly and inevitably returned to the starting point. These crisscrossed galleries sound not unlike a labyrinth." In the 10th century, historian and geographer Masudi wrote about this subterranean underworld, and again in the 14th century, an Arab writer named Al-Tilim Sani recorded the existence of underground passages beneath the pyramids in a manuscript still kept in the British Museum. In fact, as British explorer Andrew Collins pointed out, ancient funerary texts clearly allude to the existence of a subterranean world in the vicinity of the Giza pyramids. Even the name of the area itself suggests this to be true. Giza was called Rostow in ancient times. Rostow translates to the mouth of the passages, the gateway to the Duat, or the other world. If history and modern scientific research are to be believed, there can be little doubt that a vast subterranean underworld exists beneath the Giza Plateau. But what is it for? And who built it? In the 1930s, famed American psychic Edgar Cayce, known as the Sleeping Prophet, made a curious assertion. He claimed to have received a vision that the Sphinx was not 4,500 years old, as was commonly accepted, but rather over 10,000 years old, and further, that concealed beneath it was a so-called Hall of Records containing ancient knowledge and wisdom, the true history of the human race. Were these the ramblings of a lunatic or something more? As early as 300 BCE, the Greek philosopher Cantor spoke about pillars of stone which lined passageways under the pyramids, pillars with a record of prehistory chiseled into them. In the 4th century, Roman historian Ammianus Marcellinus noted ancient knowledge recorded on subterranean walls beneath the pyramids, designed, he believed, to preserve said knowledge through the Great Flood. Masudi, writing in the 10th century, described how written accounts of wisdom and acquirements in the different arts and sciences were hidden deep under the pyramids, that they might remain as records for the benefit of those who could afterwards comprehend them. In his own incredible words, I have seen things that one does not describe for fear of making people doubt one's intelligence, but I have still seen them. In the 1400s, Christian Rosenkreuz, the founder of the Order of the Rosicrucians, spoke of a secret chamber beneath the ground of the Giza Plateau, filled with library books containing ancient knowledge. It must be asked, if such a cache of knowledge does or even might exist, why would this existence be so vigorously denied by Egyptian authorities? Why would further research and exploration be subverted and shut down? Why would these authorities assert, as they did in 1972, that no one should pay any attention to the preposterous claims in regard to the interior of the Great Pyramid or the presumed passageways and unexcavated temples and halls beneath the sand in the Pyramid District? Imagine that records hidden beneath the pyramids revealed a pre-Egyptian culture, as alluded to by historians across the ages, a timeline of history which shows that Egyptians were not, in fact, the builders of the pyramids. If this were the case, then the opposition of Egyptian authorities would be quite understandable. Yet, perhaps there are darker, more nefarious actors at work. What Australian author Tony Bushby described as a hidden level of censorship in operation. Perhaps the true secrets of the pyramids go beyond even a hall of records. In 2003, an archaeologist with Mexico's National Institute of Anthropology and History named Sergio Gomez Chavez was examining the damage caused by days of heavy rains around the Feathered Serpent Pyramid in the ancient region of Teotihuacan, outside of what is now Mexico City. At the foot of the pyramid, a torrent of mud and debris caused by the rains had opened a 3-foot-wide sinkhole. Perplexed, the small and wiry man tied a rope to his waist and lowered himself into the hole. What he found was a perfectly cylindrical shaft leading to a closed-off passage with extraordinary treasures: greenstone crocodile teeth, crystals shaped into eyes, sculptures of jaguars ready to pounce, sealed off from the world, unknown but for a fortuitous act of nature. At the end of the tunnel, Chavez discovered the most unexpected thing: large quantities of liquid mercury. Mercury is an extremely rare and conductive element that today is used primarily in electronics and automobiles, so the presence of this dangerous substance below an ancient Aztec pyramid has puzzled scientists. According to ancient Hindu texts, liquid mercury was part of the propulsion system which the gods used for their flying chariots. Perhaps it's no coincidence that liquid mercury was found in a temple built to honor Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent god that came down from the sky. In the years that followed, Chavez would use a radar device to create an underground map of the unexpectedly extensive collection of tunnels and chambers under the pyramid. Since then, both the Pyramid of the Moon and the Pyramid of the Sun, also in Teotihuacan, have had similar subterranean underworlds mapped using electrical resistance technology. While many may initially think of Egypt or Mexico, the fact is, pyramids appear on every continent. This begs the question, how many of these pyramids have a similar subterranean world beneath them? Consider, starting in 2005, an extensive tunnel and chamber network was found beneath the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids, or that in 2014, archaeologists uncovered a hidden underground tunnel system running from the Peruvian city of Cusco to the Pyramid of Intihuatana at Machu Picchu. How many more examples might be found if exploration was allowed or even encouraged? But the real question is, why are there similar pyramid structures with similar subterranean underworlds built across the world by cultures who knew nothing about each other? In 1891, famed inventor Nikola Tesla took to the stage at a conference in New York City to present a lecture to the American Institute of Electrical Engineers. In each hand, he held a light bulb. They were not connected to any wires, yet to the shock of those in attendance, both glowed brightly. Tesla explained that electricity was being transmitted through the air via two large pieces of metal he had set up on either side of the stage. He would go on to speculate how one might increase the scale of this effect over a broader area, perhaps even the whole world. By 1905, Tesla and a team of laborers, after working for a period of years, had completed the assembly of the 187-foot-tall Wardenclyffe Tower in Shoreham, New York. The enormous tower was held up by a root system buried some 300 feet in the ground and topped by a 55-ton dome of conductive metal. As Tesla explained, "In this system that I have invented, it is necessary for the machine to get a grip of the earth, otherwise it cannot shake the earth. It has to have a grip so that the whole of this globe can quiver." The idea was to pump the planet with electricity, which would intermingle with the natural telluric currents that move throughout the Earth's crust and oceans. Quiver indeed. The tower would project energy skyward through its huge metal top, into the electricity-friendly ionosphere some 50 miles up. From there, it could then be harnessed, as with Tesla's light bulb demonstration, by homes and vehicles using small antennas to tap into the energy conduit. In this way, Tesla believed he could harness the energy lodged within the Earth and transmit it all over the globe, providing the entire planet with unlimited free energy. In 1905, Tesla filed a patent in the United States titled "The Art of Transmitting Electrical Energy Through the Natural Medium," and it appeared he could be on the precipice of something game-changing. Yet, that very same year, Tesla's financial backer suddenly abandoned him, and the project collapsed. Interestingly, his financial backer had been J.P. Morgan, one of the richest people on Earth, and a man who had amassed his fortune by financing the captains of oil and industry, that is, the very entities which would be put out of business by a new unlimited energy source. One cannot help but think of the hidden level of censorship described by Bushby. Though Tesla's legacy is vast, his plans for unlimited energy have mostly been forgotten or suppressed. Except, maybe they weren't his plans. A little-known fact about Nikola Tesla is that he was, throughout his life, fascinated by the Egyptian pyramids. He studied them, wrote, and thought about them often. It was what some have called an obsession. But why? The answer may be revealed in his 1905 patent, in which he included a design for his unlimited energy device called simply Tesla's Electromagnetic Pyramid. Consider this electromagnetic pyramid and the design of the Wardenclyffe Tower, and compare them to the construction of the Great Pyramid of Giza. At one time, the Great Pyramid was covered by an outer layer of white tufa limestone, blocks which fit together so perfectly not even a razor blade could slip between them. White tufa limestone is unique in that it does not contain magnesium, giving it tremendous insulating properties. This means that these casing stones would have perfectly insulated whatever was inside the structure. Beneath the casing stones, the pyramid is built on a different type of limestone, one which is known to increase its electrical conductivity in direct proportion to the weight exerted upon it, like, for example, the weight of a pyramid. More inexplicably, the passages within the pyramids and their underground tunnels are lined with granite. This seems strange since granite is one of the hardest stones on Earth, and thus one of the most notoriously difficult to work with. Further, there was no source of granite anywhere near the area, meaning the over 8,000 tons used in the pyramid had to be shipped there by boat from Aswan, some 500 miles away. This would seem like an incredible undertaking if the granite did not serve some specific purpose. Of course, granite is known to be slightly radioactive, filled with high amounts of quartz crystal, and as such, is a well-known conductor of piezoelectricity. Think of a quartz wristwatch which can be charged by shaking. Further, granite is known to ionize the air around it, again, increasing electrical conductivity. What could this all mean? These unusual materials used in specific situations? Consider that the Giza Plateau sits on top of a system of underground rivers. In fact, it has been shown that thousands of years ago, the mighty Nile River ran right past the pyramids. Is it possible that the pyramids were built to harness the piezoelectricity of the currents of these rivers? Could this explain the vast network of underground chambers and tunnels? Only 2 years ago, an international research group published a study in the Journal of Applied Physics, which showed that the Great Pyramid could concentrate electromagnetic energy in its internal chambers as well as under its base. Some thinkers have begun to put the pieces of the puzzle together. The theory has been described as follows. Water from underground rivers travels through the subterranean tunnels, up into the limestone through capillary action. From there, the construction of the pyramid creates an internal 3D field of harmonic vibrations and provides space to allow the energies to mingle within. The apex of the pyramid creates a spin field within its center, and once energy has entered, it careens off the five identical angles and is projected in a beam towards the center, where a pillar of the fused vibrations occurs. In other words, like Tesla's Wardenclyffe Tower, energy is drawn from the Earth and projected skyward. Historically, the Great Pyramid was topped by a gold cap. Gold is one of the most electrically conductive materials on Earth. The gold top then providing a path for electricity to shoot up into the ionosphere, much as with the 55-ton metal ball which topped Tesla's tower. The similarities between Tesla's plans for unlimited energy and the construction of the Great Pyramid, alongside Tesla's apparent obsession with the subject, have led many to speculate that the Great Pyramid of Giza was, in fact, an ancient power plant able to project energy which could then be harnessed at individual locations. Many have noted the appearance of obelisks throughout Egyptian culture and, in fact, around the world. Made of granite and topped with quartz, these obelisks could have acted much like Tesla's suggested antennas could, tapping into the energy conduit produced by the Great Pyramid. It has been suggested that the history of an electrical Egypt is actually told in the Bible through the story of Moses. As one of the Pharaoh's closest advisors, Moses would have been privy to all the ancient secrets of Egypt, including, it could be assumed, the secrets of energy, if such secrets did exist. Some have suggested that the biblical Ark of the Covenant, described in the book of Exodus as a gold-covered wooden chest containing the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, is actually a metaphor for the superconductor at the core of the Great Pyramid, which powered ancient Egypt. Rather than having received the Ten Commandments from a mountaintop, Moses instead took the Ark of the Covenant with him when he fled Egypt, perhaps explaining why, in possession of that which made Egypt great, Moses and his people would have been pursued so ruthlessly by the Pharaoh, as described in the book of Exodus. This may also add a new twist to the story of Moses parting the Red Sea. What type of electrical wizardry could this be a metaphor for? Interestingly, historical references show that Egyptian civilization reached its peak during the reign of Ramses II, the pharaoh at the time of Moses, before collapsing shortly thereafter. According to mainstream consensus, it is not so complicated. The Great Pyramid is simply a tomb, as many pyramids are believed to be. It has no secret purpose or metaphorical history. Just another tomb. Except, the Great Pyramid does not contain any of those things found in Egyptian tombs elsewhere. No extravagant artifacts or opulent wall art, no sealed entrances, there are not even any mummies. If not for these things, then for what? Could it really have been a power plant? Consider the mysterious Baghdad batteries, 2,200-year-old clay jars found near Baghdad, Iraq, described as the oldest known electric batteries in existence, or consider that ancient Egyptian carvings and art consistently appear to depict giant light bulbs like the ones found in the Dendera Temple. In fact, Iamblichus described an experience in the underground tunnels and chambers below Giza as follows. We came to a chamber. When we entered, it became automatically illuminated by light from a tube being the height of one man's hand and Thin standing vertically in the corner. As we approached the tube, it shone brighter. The slaves were scared and ran away in the direction from which we had come. When I touched it, it went out. We made every effort to get the tube to glow again, but it would no longer provide light. But these types of stories of strange happenings around the Giza Plateau have been commonplace for centuries. During the 9th century, Egyptian governor Ahmed Bentulun described a goblet of glass discovered in a tunnel under the Great Pyramid, which was found to be the same weight when empty as when full of water. Centuries later, in the 1930s, Egyptologist Dr. Salim Hassan attempted to pump the water out of subterranean chambers under the Giza Plateau, only to find that after 4 years of pumping, the water level had not descended at all. The water, which would have been key to a pyramid power plant, seems to have unusual properties around the Great Pyramid. Perhaps even more bizarre is the story of Sir William Siemens, a British inventor who climbed to the top of the Great Pyramid in the late 1800s. Upon reaching the summit, Siemens was alerted by a guide complaining of a shrill ringing noise in his ears whenever they raised their hand with fingers spread. Siemens raised his own hand and felt a prickling sensation spreading through it. Moments later, when he went to take a sip of wine, he received an electric shock when his lips touched the bottle. Puzzled, Siemens moistened a piece of newspaper and wrapped it around the bottle of wine to create a makeshift Leyden jar. Raising this primitive capacitor over his head and watching in stunned silence as sparks of electricity sailed through the air. A frightened guide tried to grab the bottle away from Siemens, who pointed the bottle at the man in self-defense. As he did, the man was thrown backwards onto the ground and knocked unconscious. It seemed almost as if a strong electrical current was emanating from the top of the pyramid. This occurrence remained unexplained for years, and in fact, it is no longer possible to climb to the top of the Great Pyramid, having been made illegal for purported conservation purposes. It is fair to ask, if the Great Pyramid is a power plant, how would the ancients have been able to create such a thing? Take a step back here. Even if the Great Pyramid wasn't a power plant, there are still many aspects of its existence which defy ancient explanation. Consider that the four corners of the Great Pyramid align perfectly with the four cardinal compass points, despite compasses not having been invented when it was built. Consider that when standing directly in front of the Sphinx on the summer solstice, the sun sets precisely between the Great Pyramid and the Pyramid of Khafre. Despite the fact the ancients could not have known this date, as the calendar year had not been determined. Further, consider that complex mathematical equations and concepts were used in the engineering of the Great Pyramid, equations like pi, which would not be discovered until thousands of years later. Quite simply, from a technical standpoint, as well as from a broader pool of knowledge, whether a power plant or not, the Great Pyramid, as well as many of the other pyramids across Egypt and the world, should have been impossible for the ancients to build. So, how were they built? Where did this knowledge come from, and what other knowledge might the ancients have been privy to? Here, the thoughts of Edgar Cayce, the American psychic who predicted the age of the Sphinx more than 50 years before science would prove him right, can again be examined for inspiration. In another of his prophecies, he claimed that a flying saucer was buried under the Great Pyramid of Giza. Perhaps this is not as outlandish as it seems. After all, many ancient carvings and cave etchings, in Egypt and elsewhere, depict what looked like flying saucers. Perhaps this reveals the secret of how human beings could have possessed such seemingly impossible knowledge. They didn't, until it was brought to them by a group of extraterrestrials. Ancient Sumerian texts, which predate Egypt by thousands of years and, in fact, represent the work of the dominant civilization in the area at the time the Sphinx was actually built, tell the story of gods called the Anunnaki, which some modern scholars have interpreted as aliens, visiting the Earth and intermingling with humans, bringing futuristic technology and incredible knowledge. Perhaps it was these Anunnaki who built the Great Pyramid as a power plant for their advanced society. Perhaps this even explains the existence of similar pyramids with similar subterranean networks constructed across the world by cultures who apparently knew nothing about each other, a sort of global power network set up by the Anunnaki. Interestingly, Sumerian texts speak of the secret abode of the Anunnaki as an underground place, entered through a tunnel, its entrance hidden by sand, and by what they call Huwana, his teeth as the teeth of a dragon, his face the face of a lion. Could the Anunnaki be the key to ancient knowledge long lost? To the unlimited free energy sought after by Tesla? To a different understanding of human history? And even to what the human race is? The short answer is yes. The longer answer is watch more to find out. Thank you for watching. And don't forget to click the link in the description below to claim your 2-month free membership at Skillshare. We're sure you'll find some amazing courses there and learn many new skills. If you enjoyed the video, please hit the like button. And if you're new, press subscribe and the bell next to it for future notifications.